This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, Michaela, I am fully frustrated with my kids, whom I love more than life itself. However, as their mom, I feel like an absolute failure, and I can't seem to find the time to get us all organized and even have meaningful conversations. I feel like everyone is so busy. I'm so overwhelmed, so drained. Help me.
Yes, get that off your chest. As a busy mom, I get it. I have found that when I am stressed and feeling stuck, the best thing to do is ask for help. Perhaps book a therapy session. Therapy is for everyone, every human desiring to feel better, live better, and learn how to solve life's most pressing problems and concerns in real time. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and very convenient. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/SoberGirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/SoberGirls. Okay, can I be honest here?
Yes.
I used to rely on alcohol for a lot of things, including managing my PMS symptoms like anxiety, irritability, feeling blue. Ugh, huge mistake. However, as a sober girl today, that is obviously not an option, but have no fear. Ladies, we've found a solution to our PMS woes. Alcohol, so not needed. Enter Jubilance, your daily support and new BFF when it comes to true and effective PMS relief. It's so simple. Just take one capsule a day and keep your symptoms at bay. If you're interested in trying it, you can use the code SOBERGIRLS for $10 off your first order.
I've noticed I have more energy, focus, less cravings, and my mood feels so much more balanced. Jubilance is a non-hormonal, available over-the-counter, and powered by two-ingredient formula used by thousands of women worldwide to live PMS mood symptom-free. Think less anxiety, less irritability, more peace, power, and dare I say, fun all month long. Try Jubilance for $10 off by visiting jubilance.com/sobergirls or use the promo code SOBERGIRLS at checkout. That's JUBILANCE.com/SOBERGIRLS for $10 off.
Hey guys, and welcome to a new episode of Two Sober Girls. I am your host, Erin, with my amazing co-host, Michaela, and we are both health and lifestyle coaches, obsessed, in love with, just beyond passionate to share our message of sobriety with the world and with you today. And today, Michaela, we are kicking our own asses, as we like to say, and we're going to go over taking a 10-step inventory, a personal inventory. Now, this comes from the 12 steps of AA, but this is a practical lifestyle piece that anybody can employ, even if you're not immersed in sobriety. This is just a wonderful tool to take stock of how you're living, how you're doing, how you're feeling. Are you breathing? What's going on? And why? And so before we dive in, why don't I read the 10th step as it's written in the 12 steps, and then we can talk about, like, you know, what we've been talking about. Okay.
Perfect. So let's do it.
Step, yeah. 10th step says, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Boom. So now the key word is continued. So they're assuming you've been doing this all along in the steps or in your life, right? So continue to take personal inventory, personal, not, I'm not taking your inventory. And when we were wrong, so when I'm wrong, promptly, not like wait a day, pray on it, you know, write it down, promptly admitted it. And to admit it, so for this, for me, looks like admitting it first to myself and to God and then to another human being. And I, you know, we call this a 10-step call in the rooms because you actually would make a call to another spiritually fit human and say, hey, this just happened. Can I share it with you so you can tell me what my next step might be? Do I need to make an amends? Was I in the wrong? Am I not seeing or understanding something? You know, so, and I feel like we do this with each other.
This yeah, is how we do this quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're so in tune with wanting to feel really good
that when something is off, we do look at it because we want to come back to that place of alignment. So I personally, I have not done, you know, most of the steps. I feel like I'm learning a lot through you. And I just love this one. I do believe anyone can benefit from it, even if you're not on a sobriety journey. You know, I think every single person can take a look at their daily life every single day and just review it. I think that's really important. How do you think this helps in sobriety?
Okay, so I love that question. Whatever we don't deal with in the moment, because we're sober, right? So now we feel everything, we're aware of things. And when we have that discomfort, that ping inside of us, we have two options. We can feel it, sit with it, and be honest, or we can numb. And in sobriety, we've taken away the alcohol, we've taken away any drug to numb. So now there's other ways we can numb. Of course, people do it all the time. I am, you know, one day at a time aware of the other ways in which I can numb. And so instead of numbing, which when we numb, we don't heal, we don't learn the lesson, we don't move forward, we're not advancing, and we're also cutting ourselves off from God and source when we're sitting with something and we decide to numb. So now what it looks like for me, when I have that ping of discomfort, which I'm a recovering alcoholic, I freaking hate discomfort. That's why I drink over it. So I want this out off. So that's why I want to say, okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to call. I'm going to talk about it because I want to get back to that peace and that connection, that power, so that I don't numb with something else. So also big picture, we have enough of these building up. You will drink over this. This is why this is in the steps. You will absolutely pick up. You let this build, and maybe it's this one, or maybe it's the fifth one, but you are going to drink over it because it's going to get so uncomfortable inside your soul and your being. You're like, can't take it anymore. And I want to just numb this feeling versus you have that little blip on the screen. Oh, let me take care of that. Let me take care of that. It's like spring cleaning every day of your soul versus allowing it to pile up. But I know for myself, if I'm not being completely honest with myself, with God and another, I'm going to numb, and that numbing without alcohol is going to eventually lead to alcohol. And all the while, it's robbing me of my joy and my peace. And the whole reason why I put down the stupid drink in the first place, right? This is how we practice sobriety, emotional, spiritual sobriety. I have to be honest. And I was in a meeting last night and we were talking about Into Action in the Big Book. I love this chapter. And it just kept talking about the need for rigorous honesty. And I know that there are many times in my life in sobriety that I haven't been, that we've discussed it, where I didn't even realize it until I was like, oh, I'm doing that thing again, that coping mechanism that I've hidden even so well from myself that I'm not realizing it, that I'm doing this. So being honest with how you feel, your feelings are your first and your most powerful indicators of really how you're doing, how you're living, and what's going on. So that's kind of what it looks like for me today.
Yeah. And I guess I would assume it gets easier with practice.
Yes.
So I assume in the beginning, it's like, oh, it's even more uncomfortable to like go head on with it. Right. But then you realize that there's some sort of relief. And you're like chipping away at those things on the inside, and you are perhaps feeling better afterwards, after talking about it, after being honest with yourself, and not just being honest, but actually rewriting either the script or how you're going to show up next time, right? And so that makes a really big difference in the quality of your life. Yes. And perhaps some moments are harder than others, but yeah, we have to build that muscle daily.
Yes. And you just also, it's a practice. So it's like going to the gym or whatever we're doing, whatever we're learning, you just have to do it, rinse and repeat. And like when that difficult emotion or that something sparks within your soul and you say, ooh, maybe I need to talk to someone about this. This is bothering me. I'm obsessing over this. I maybe didn't handle that so great with my kids or with that person or whatever it is. You know, you develop that muscle so you know more, like you know more quickly, like, oh yeah, that's a 10 step. I need to take inventory on that. If it steals or distorts my peace at all, I need to talk about it with another spiritually fit human.
And so how does a person find a spiritual fit human?
Well, that is the question, Michaela.
I know. That's the
really
thing. It's also talking to people who are going to talk through with you through this, but not in a way where it's making it worse, right?
Babe.
So we have to be really careful with who we choose to talk to about certain things. I think that makes a huge difference. And
Huge.
a lot of times, many people are not qualified to handle conversations like this. And I think this is why it's a, having a community, and that's whether it's AA, those, you guys are very well equipped in conversations like this, right? Or it's somebody who's been through it or somebody who's doing the work. But I feel like if you go to somebody who's not doing the work and, you want to work, do the 10th step, I feel like it has to be the right person.
Yeah, you have to. It has to be the right person. And if not, you're going to be just digging a deeper ditch that you're going to be burying yourself in, literally. So, how do you know if the person is spiritually fit? Well, do they have a spiritual practice? Are they connected with their higher power in prayer and meditation? Is that something you both discuss? The tell-all for me is this. If I'm having this like juicy resentment and I'm coming to you, Michaela, and I'm and you just co-sign on my BS and say, you're right, what an a-hole. Ah, and you were just saying that I'm right and this person's the biggest whatever in the world. Run as fast as you can. That person's not spiritually fit, and that's going to be so damaging. And unfortunately, that's what we do. We go to the people that they're going to validate and say, oh, yeah, you're right. The person's a jerk, which is here, there. It doesn't matter about that person. It matters how you handled yourself with that person. It is about you and God and how you responded. It has nothing to do with the other person. And so you need to find someone who's going to say, hey, Michaela, in that situation, how could you handle that differently? What? Why did that upset you? What was coming out for you? Why was that a trigger? Maybe, what do you think you could have done differently? And or
Yes,
best
asking
thing
the right
is
question.
the right questions or saying, that person's not well. They're struggling, so they're doing the best they can. They're never going to see it your way, and that doesn't matter. You still need to show up with respect and love for them. But if someone's like just signing off on like your resentment, run. And we have this fun little worksheet so that we shared with our mastermind group. We're going to talk about today on our live call, which these are just questions you can ask when you're taking personal inventory, either first with yourself and then with somebody else. And this is from Commune, which has a great course on recovery, which I love and I liked it going deeper. Anything I can go deeper with, especially since I do work with sponsees quite often with the 12 steps. This is based loosely on, not loosely, this is based on the 12 steps, but in their own language, which is super cool. Okay, so this from the recovery worksheet is a couple questions. And so, Michaela, I'll just ask you these. Okay. And so their step 10, they wrote it as watch out for effed up thinking. And remember, it starts in our thinking and
Yes.
behavior and be honest when it happens. Okay, so that's their step 10. Okay, consider, am I committed to daily growth? How do I demonstrate this? So that would be something like, okay, like, am I committed and where's the proof? Am I prepared to live a truly awakened life and to be alert to the inevitable deviations that will come? Ooh. Am I willing to hold myself accountable to another human being whenever I am disturbed? I feel like that's the question. Am I willing to hold myself accountable to another human being whenever I am disturbed? And so, not like when you think it's like, oh, this is a big one. So, that would mean to me daily, we're going to be disturbed daily. We're humans. Can I be self-compassionate and trust in my concept of a higher power? Am I willing to make amends whenever I cause harm? Can you imagine if every human did this? We would, what the shift would be? If
Yeah.
whenever I cause another person harm, even just not just completely by accident or just whatever it was, and I just
Or
like,
just even acknowledging it. I think just even acknowledging something like that does shift the vibration, the frequency, right?
yes.
Within you. Yeah, absolutely.
causing more love. Like, I harmed you. I'm so sorry. That's the last thing I'd ever want to do. And now that I'm aware, I'm going to do better. Okay. Do I consciously try to live a life contrary to the defective impulses that previously governed my life? So we talk about this a lot in the rooms too. It's taking opposing action. Like my brain might be saying, do this, but in recovery, I'm going to do the opposite. And until that becomes comfortable, because this got me into a lot of trouble. My thinking, my
Impulse.
distorted thinking, impulses, addictive nature of the disease, which I have, I had to take opposing action. And at first I was like, this is horrible. But now I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, what? Okay, this is a recovery action. This is an impulse addiction, addictive action. Which I think is, if you look at it that way, you take back your power and you have another option. You don't have to follow that impulse that's going to take you down the path of the path that you don't want to be on, let's be honest. So this is a fun worksheet. This is a lifestyle practice. This is a daily thing. Step 10, call your spiritually fit friend. If you don't have one, come join us. I mean, they're in our mastermind. This is what we tell our girls to do, to link up with each other, reach out to us. I tell my sponsees to call one another, to call me, but you must have it. Mikhail and I go boom and boom all day long here with our step 10. And this is truly the way to stay free and happy and empowered and just say like lighter, light, like a lightness of being when you live this way.
And just to wrap this up, let's talk a little bit about how to do this. So you could do this at the end of the day, right? And you can have this sheet printed. And I think, everybody can have a different sort of routine, but just like a generalized routine, you can read off the questions and you can mentally sort of review them. You can journal about them. You can meditate on them. Perhaps, how would I have done things differently? If you have that spiritually fit person, you can reach out to them. If you need to say I'm sorry that day. If there's something that is bothering you that you've done or said, or even thought about. Sometimes we have thoughts, and it's like everything is energy, everything. So, try this at the end of each day and just see how it goes. Let us know, if you're feeling any shifts. I think when we do step into this work and we allow ourselves to be accountable for our thoughts and our actions, the next day we kind of are like on this high alert of like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I shouldn't say this, or maybe I shouldn't think this. And so it allows you to kind of walk through life in this meditative state, hopefully, and make better choices, right? And every little bit counts. Every little bit counts. Every thought, every action. Everything you don't say, everything you do say, it just all adds up. And you'd be surprised at how quickly your life can shift when we take responsibility, for our behaviors, our attitudes, our interaction with others. It truly does make a difference.
Huge difference. And why carry that around? Why carry that junk in your soul? Like you have already been forgiven. Release it and clear it and send love and learn from it. So I love that, Michaela. I'm sure I'll be calling you later for a 10 step.
Exactly. All righty, ladies. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode, and we'll see you next week.
Addiction impacts all of us. Addiction's consequences run through all of us. From ourselves to our loved ones and through our communities, addiction creates so much loss and grief. My name is Dwayne Osterlin, and I'm the host of the Addicted Mind podcast, a show featuring personal stories, expert guests, and vital information about addiction and addiction recovery. We'll talk with leading treatment providers to discuss the latest research and treatment options for this devastating disease and advocate for mental health awareness. We discuss topics like the importance of creating a community of support to helping loved ones to some of the latest research on psychedelic medicines. The Addicted Mind podcast has been about creating hope, listening to stories of many amazing people that have overcome addiction and are thriving. If you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, subscribe to the Addicted Mind podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or check out theaddictedmind.com. New episodes every Monday. See you there.